This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, because your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
Tonight was a busy night in New York City, everybody, as you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. There were lots of protesters. These are the anti-Israeli protesters that were interrupting the Biden fundraiser, again, trying to raise $25 million so Biden can stay in office and the Democrats can stay in party and stay in power. And today, there were swarms of protesters that were all over the streets of Manhattan, including right outside of Radio City Music Hall. Listen to some of the chants from outside.
Biden, Biden, you're a liar!
Biden, Biden, you're a liar!
We demand a ceasefire!
We demand a ceasefire!
And President Biden has been folding like a cheap suit. It's interesting that they've been out there protesting and upset with his policies. Well, they seem to be having an effect because clearly this president, it is all about politics. It is all about staying in the White House. And that's what tonight's big fundraiser is all about in New York City. Again, raking in $25 million, that's a historic high. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of dough. And these protesters out there, they're following him everywhere, but especially when he goes to states like Michigan and Minnesota and a couple others that he really, really needs to stay in the White House. And that's why he's been flipping and flopping on everything. It's like anything that he thinks will help him politically, he seems to bend and be very malleable. And that seems to indicate a lot of the way that this president has held his political career, now decades in Washington. It wasn't that long ago that he was at the State of the Union, and he sounded like he was a supporter of Israel. Listen to this when he was at the State of the Union not that long ago.
Israel has a right to go after Hamas. Hamas ended this conflict by releasing hostages, laying down arms, could end it by releasing the hostages, laying down arms, and surrendering those responsible for October 7th.
So even though it was jumbled and bumbled, he said Israel has a right. At the very beginning, right after October 7th, he was clear supporter of Israel. We stand with Israel. There was no gray. And now there have been shades of gray over and over and over again. And it's because he is worried about losing some of those voters in some of these key states. He saw the uncommitted votes that came out against him in Michigan and in other places. And he needs every vote he can get. He needs every buck he can get, which is why he did this event tonight at Radio City. And you could tell that he is flipping and flopping, which is why it's wild that these people are still protesting, because he sure doesn't seem like he's a stalwart supporter of Israel anymore, ever since he realized it's not good for him politically because he might lose some votes, as opposed to staying with a moral compass. No, he is going to be a sellout and throw Israel under the bus. earlier this week, this spoke volumes to me, because he's at an event, and at this event, the protesters started shouting him down. And listen to what he says. He says, they have a point. In other words, let them protest. They're allowed to speak. What they're saying is actually a pretty good point. That doesn't sound like somebody who's supportive of Israel. These people are calling for, like, death to Israel and saying, you know, let's have a ceasefire and have Hamas live happily ever after. And our president, who is supposed to be, claims to be an ally of Israel and U.S., is definitely one of the most stalwart historically allies of Israel, one of our greatest allies in the Middle East by far and in the world. And our president is saying to these protesters who are spewing vile against Israel, saying they have a point. They're actually pretty smart, you know? Listen to this exchange. It was really disgusting. Listen to this moment.
Allow them to deny coverage. Everybody deserves health care. Be patient with them. They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into the Gaza.
They have a point. We need to support these protesters who are saying to the river, to the sea, basically, let's end the state of Israel. They have a point, because I really want to stay in the White House and I will do anything I can to stay in the White House. That to me speaks volumes from this president. And it's the same way that he is handling issues that deal with the border. Look at what he said about Laken Riley. He wasn't even going to say Laken Riley's name. It wasn't until Marjorie Taylor Greene forced him during the State of the Union. He still mispronounced the name. But remember this moment at the State of the Union. Take a listen.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as it'll be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border, because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But, if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way, knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
So he's like, killed by an illegal, right? And then remember, he flips and flops because the progressives took over and said, you know, Mr. President, you shouldn't be calling the killer an illegal. That's not nice to say about the killer. The immigrant killer who belonged to a Venezuelan gang called Tren de Aragua. That's not nice to say about that killer. No, no, no. You need to correct yourself. And then he went back out there. The spineless president went back out there. Remember this retraction.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber. You saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Yeah, I regret calling a killer illegal. He deserves much more respect than that. How disgusting is that? And so it's not surprising to me that today President Biden did not even make the effort to go to Officer Jonathan Diller's wake. He was in town. He was not that far away. He was in New York City, and he came in hours earlier, maybe to get juiced up, many people believe, before he got out there, because he was with at least two other lively presidents like Clinton and Obama. Remember, they were out there at the fundraiser for him tonight. But to me, I find it reprehensible. I find it reprehensible. And even RFK Jr. is slamming Biden for skipping the wake that Trump attended. Even RFK Jr. says that is not presidential of the current occupant of the Oval Office. And Nicole Parker, former FBI agent, says this is no surprise because, sadly, a couple years ago, right after President Biden took office, she lost two comrades, two of her fellow agents. And he didn't show up for that either, because I guess the backing the blue is not a priority for this president, just like drawing attention to Lake and Riley, which would mean drawing attention to the border. And that's why he's trying to flip and flop on Israel, because he's seeing some of the polls and he's losing some of these young people that are out there protesting, and he needs every vote he can get. He doesn't want to give anybody a reason to stay home and not vote for him, because he needs every vote he can get, especially in those swing states. But listen to what former FBI agent Nicole Parker had to say about the way President Biden has handled his support of men and women in blue.
My friend was killed 2 days after this current administration took over. President Biden did not attend Special Agent Laura Schwarzenberger's or Special Agent Daniel Alfin's funerals. He was not there. And we did not feel that he supported our law enforcement officers. I don't know why, but to see that he is currently at a fundraiser and is going to potentially raise $25 million is insulting. Officer Diller's life is worth more than $25 million. But I can also tell you that there are officers, and I understand and agree, when you don't feel supported, it's actually better that you don't show up to the funeral, because it is insulting. And it's insulting. We know who backs the blue.
And even the head of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, we talked with him earlier today on Katz and Cosby, and he was saying, you know what? Yeah, don't show up. You know what? These politicians that sit there and say one thing and are pushing for defund the police, don't show up and say we support our men and women in blue if you're trying to cut funds for them, or if you're trying to make their jobs more difficult, have them file reports, do all of these things that just cumber them and bog them down. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's go real quick to Ed in Canada. Ed, your thoughts.
Hey, Rita. Hello?
Yep. Hey, what do you guys think from Canada? What's your reaction to what's going on here?
I think there should be a death sentence for all first responders killed. I think you should receive a death sentence.
Yeah, by the way, I do too. Can I say one thing? You don't have it in Canada, do you, Ed? You don't.
Oh, God, they took that out years ago.
I thought so, too. Exactly.
The last hanging in Canada was 54, I think.
Well, you know what? There needs to be some sort of deterrent, because in this particular case, Ed, we saw 21 priors for the guy who pulled the trigger. And as we were just hearing tonight, the gun locked because he was planning on killing the other officer. He was planning on killing Officer Diller's partner as well. Thank goodness. The gun got jammed, and so he was not able to, and then the gun was taken away from him. Thank goodness. But shameful that these people are walking the streets feeling emboldened, and his buddy, the getaway driver there who was with him, he also was there for attempted murder. He served stints in prison, too, 14 priors, and then he was trying to pretend when law enforcement, you know, got him. Like, what were you guys working on? Because you were scouting things out. You were parked illegally at this bus place in front of a T-Mobile shop for about 10 minutes. Oh, no. I just picked him up. He was a hitchhiker. I don't know him. Yeah, right. Birds of a feather flock together. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue your calls on The Rita Cosby Show when we come back.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And I feel like it was just yesterday that we lost other NYPD officers. I remember, well, first, of course, 2014. Remember officers Wen Jen Liu and Officer Ramos killed while they were sitting in their patrol car and they were ambushed. Remember, the cops turned their backs on Bill de Blasio, the mayor at the time, as they should have, because what he was doing to undermine law enforcement was unconscionable. And now, then we fast forward a couple years. This was 2 years ago. Wilbert Mora and Jason Rivera, two young NYPD officers also slain. They were responding to that domestic disturbance at a home in Harlem, and the guy opened fire and killed both of them, ambushed them. I mean, it is unconscionable what's happening to our law enforcement. And I'll never forget when Jason Rivera's widow, remember, he was just 22 years old. She had the courage and the guts to speak at his funeral. Listen to what she said.
Today I'm still in this nightmare that I wish I never had. Full of rage and anger, hurt and sad, torn. Although I gained thousands of blue brothers and sisters, I'm the loneliest without you.
And then she pointed the blame where it belongs.
I know you were tired of these laws, especially the ones from the new DA. I hope he's watching you speak through me right now.
Wow. And called out the new DA. That was Alvin Bragg. Let's go to Stanley in Tel Aviv. Stanley, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How are you tonight?
Good, good, good. What are you guys thinking? Boy, you guys are going through some very difficult stuff, and we are here, too.
Yeah, and hopefully we take them out real quick and soon, you know, with the support of President Biden.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the fact that Biden has been waffling on Israel? There's no question about it.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's because he needs support from, like, the Muslims in the USA.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He seems to be worried about a two-state solution, I tell everybody, and it's Michigan and Minnesota. You know, I mean, it's heartbreaking for me to see. How are you guys holding up, by the way? And by the way, what did you make of, I know you guys are going through it. I understand you're also following what happened here with the loss of this NYPD officer, which is incredible, Stanley.
Yes, in the USA, it's horrible. And in Tel Aviv, these stuff don't happen because the civilians carry the guns. It's not as often as in like New York City.
Wow. Well, a powerful message. And Stanley, we are praying for you there in Israel big time. And look what happened, though, obviously, sadly, on October 7th. Wow, wow, wow.
Rita Cosby is on.
and welcome back to the Rita Cosby Show. Well, tomorrow is Good Friday and Sunday is Easter. And joining us now to talk about faith, which is needed now more than ever, given all the craziness and turbulence going on in the world, is my friend Lauren Green, the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel. She is also the author of another awesome, powerful book, which is called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. Lauren, it's beautiful to have you here on the Rita Cosby Show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be on. I think this is actually my first time on your show.
I am so happy to have you here and just so proud of you. You know, you were the author of Lighthouse Faith, and now you have Light for Today. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Give us some hope, because, boy, it's dark times right now. And I love your book. And I love that you're teaching us all ways that we can every day have a devotional and get centered and have a little perspective about what matters.
Well, yeah, it's so true what you're talking about, Light for Today, every day. You know, God is a creator of this entire creation. And you know, it's not enough just to go to church on a Sunday and for about an hour. You know, we give our bodies food, nutrition every single day. We need the same for our spiritual health as well. We need to have spiritual meals every single day to really get in touch with God. You know, the only way you really know yourself, if you really want to know who you are, you must know God. That goes hand in hand, because God created you. He knows you, and we are made in His image. So it really helps us find our purpose in life, to really get closer to God, to find this, what is this God about? And I just think that that's what it's all about. You want hope? Hope is in God. You want joy? Joy is found in God, no matter what your circumstances. I think that's what daily devotionals really help, you know, create for us.
And everybody, we're talking to Lauren Green. Of course, Lauren, you've had an amazing journalism career. Been so happy to know you since we were there at Fox at the very beginning. Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But yet, in addition to all your work, I think one of the most beautiful things about you inside and out is that you really walk the walk. You walk in the light. You practice what you preach. And it is so important, I think, right now, I think of all the things that are going on in the world, to have those moments. And that's what you do so beautifully in this book, to have these moments for people to say, wait a minute, let's try to cut out some of the noise. And people are, you know, there's a crime. We're thinking of the wars that are going on. There's so much despair.
Yeah, yeah.
You're giving them, I think, a foundation and giving everybody hope.
You know, life is challenging. I mean, there's just no mincing words about it. You will have times of trouble. You will have times of pain and suffering. But how do you make sense of all that pain and suffering? How do you make sense of the trauma? It's like God is sovereign. God, you will either remove the storms from your life, or God will walk through them with you. I think that's really very important to understand, that He's not going to take away all of the hurt and the pain in your life, because unfortunately, that's kind of how we grow and mature in wisdom. But the idea is that, you know, it's not about what happens to you, but it's about how you react to it. You know, you don't always have a choice of what happens to you, but you have a choice of how you react to it. And understanding how to react to it in the most in the best way possible, that is in line with God's will, is so powerful, because you can look at circumstances and say, you know, I don't like it, but I know that this has got to be God's sovereign will, that He allows this to happen for whatever purpose that is. I don't know, but I'm going to trust in Him. You know, the Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own interpretation of what's going on. I mean, it's very, very important.
You know, in your book, you bring in scripture, but you also talk about some of your life experiences. What do you think were the most transformative for you that really just instilled your faith or reconfirmed your faith?
I think being able to forgive people. I mean, there are some things that happened to me when I was a child, and you can't go back there, right? You can't return to childhood and say, you know, I don't like the way that happened, or I didn't like, you know how I felt when that happened. And there's such a great release when you forgive. When you forgive someone who really hurt you years and years and years ago. Because if you don't forgive, you just simply carry that anger around. And anger turned in on itself, it becomes depression, becomes animosity, becomes a lot of things that hurt you. But once you release that anger, you know, the way God says, you know, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, it's the idea is that, you know, forgiveness is, forgiveness, first of all, is what Christianity is founded on. You know, Jesus died on Good Friday. He was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday, the Sunday morning. And when that happened, God basically, there's no chasm now between God and humanity. He has forgiven us of all the things that we have done. You know, Jesus lived the life we couldn't live and died the death that we deserved in order to bring us closer to God. So if the creator of the universe can die on a cross in order to bring us close to him, in order to forgive us, then we can forgive those who have done us wrong. This is what the Lord's Prayer is all about, you know? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's all there.
Absolutely. And boy, how fitting this time, especially, you know, given all the, as I mentioned, all the things that are going on in the world. I feel like as we think about what Jesus went through and what he overcame and did it for us, it is extraordinary. What's your message to people as we head into, of course, Good Friday and Easter? What is your message?
That God is love, and not that God does love, but God is love. God is the foundation, the headwaters, the creator. He is love. Love is the foundation of this created order. Everything that has been created was created out of love. And so God's love is as close as the air you breathe. It is not something that's separate that you have to go out to purchase or to go anywhere. All you have to do is sit in your home and say, God, show me your love. I open my heart to you. And I would just encourage people to go to Good Friday services, go to Easter services, really understand what this gospel is all about. It is, in fact, the objective proof of the world. And it is really important to understand who this Jesus is. Jesus has challenged all of us as he challenged his apostles. But who do you say that I am? It's a very simple question. But who do you say that I am? And I think that once you start trying to answer that, you will find a plethora and a depth of love that you'd never seen before or felt before.
Absolutely. What a beautiful message. And I love your book. I've been reading through it, my friend. Again, everybody, it's called Light for Today, and it helps you to get much more connected with God and with faith and yourself, too, in the process, which is just so important. And also, I love just that you're inspiring people at such a difficult time. I think it's so perfectly timed. It's called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. And Lauren Green, the great religion correspondent there at Fox News Channel, who continues to inspire us every day. It's so beautiful to have you on here, my friend.
It's a pleasure and a blessing to be on, and thank you so much.
You too, and have a blessed Good Friday and also a very blessed Easter, my friend.
Thank you so much, Rita. You too.
And beautiful to think about what matters, because boy, is the world so turbulent as we are heading into Good Friday and, of course, Easter, and wishing all of you a beautiful and blessed Good Friday and also Easter, too, with your family and obviously with those you hold dear. And boy, you couldn't put two different positions, as the world is like, seems like it's on fire right now. And there's so much division and such a contrast, emblematic of what we saw in New York City in the last few hours. The streets of New York City were packed with protesters. And of course, many of them angry at President Biden. They're following him everywhere he goes. Two very different images today. First off, here are the protesters outside of Radio City, where the Big Bucks fundraiser took place tonight, with President Biden, President Clinton, and also President Obama. I can't wait to see, like, was Biden awake? I can't wait to see, like, the contrast. Because, listen, Obama and Bill Clinton are both very energetic, both great speakers. You didn't see Biden much of the day at all. He was probably getting his nappy and some ice cream because he had to get out there and put whatever juice that he had in him for State of the Union to go out there for this fundraiser because they need all the money they can get. If you look at the polls, he is not doing so well. And if you look outside of Radio City, there were a lot of protesters blocking the streets. Here's a little bit. And contrast that with President Trump, who today went to the wake for the slain officer and came out and said law enforcement has his support 100%.
What message did you convey to the family?
Got to toughen it up.
What do you mean?
We gotta have law and order. These things can't happen. We need law and order. It just can't happen. Thank you very much.
And we must have law and order. By the way, we need to start calling out these judges. People need to rise up and speak out and say, you know what? Enough. Because these people can't keep getting reelected time and time again. We were talking about Jason Rivera's wife, who gave that very powerful comment during the eulogy when she was speaking at her husband's funeral. This was just a couple years ago. And she said, listen, these new policies, this new DA at that point, Alvin Bragg, is a travesty that some of these people that continue these policies of giving these criminals a break after a break after a break, what are they going to do now? What do they have to say to Jonathan Diller's family and to all the men and women in blue? What are you going to do to make things better and to make sure that his death is not in vain and that there are changes? Not much has changed since the death of Wilbert Mora and Jason Rivera. Barely anything. If anything, I think things have gotten softer and easier for criminals. They are coddling these criminals and it's time to get tough. Let's go to Andrew, line five. Andrew, your thoughts?
Yes, Rita. Trump was eloquent, which usually you don't think of Trump as eloquent. But I want to say that quick, because I can't get you off speaker for 30. But it reminded me of East Palestine today, that Biden didn't go for a few months and Trump was there just a couple days later. So he was the presidential one, and how it's flipped that now Trump and the Republicans are more of the working class, like the blue collar, the police officers, the union workers, the auto workers. And the Democrats are the elites and the Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a great point, Andrew, because you're right. Like tonight it was like, Lizzo was there and a whole bunch of other sort of celebrities that were out there performing at Radio City. And then there is President Trump with law enforcement and with the community and with the people, and just went in. I agree with you. I think he was very eloquent. I mean, I think he's a very, very good speaker. And he certainly came out and was extremely compassionate and talked about the need, again, for law and order, which I think we're all calling for today. And something has to change. There is no question about it. And everybody, now to our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment. And speaking of the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation, boy, do they stand with law enforcement. Today, it came out that the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has made a promise and they will pay off the mortgage of the Long Island home of slain NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. Of course, as we've been talking about, the 31-year-old officer was shot and killed by a career criminal during a routine traffic stop on Monday night in Queens. Officer Diller and his partner, as we know, approached the car and the man inside opened fire, hitting Diller below his bulletproof vest. We know that Officer Diller was a three-year veteran of the force. He was beloved, and he leaves behind his wife, Stephanie, and their one-year-old son, Ryan. And the head of Tunnel to Towers, the chairman and CEO of this great foundation, Frank Siller, said, quote, "Every day, Officer Diller donned his uniform. There was a risk that he may not come home. We will honor Officer Diller not only for his sacrifice, but for his unwavering resolve to protect the people of New York City by ensuring his family can stay in their home forever." Bravo to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation for covering the mortgage of the Diller family. They have helped so many families in need. They are extraordinary. And everybody, all it takes is just $11 a month. Donate $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Go to T2T.org, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
President Biden didn't make it out to show his respects. I will say it's been amazing to see the outpouring of love from many people for Jonathan Diller's family. At the vigil last night, there were thousands of people. There's also a thin blue line that's going about 10 miles or so down a main street in Massapequa Park in Long Island. Flowers everywhere. Also outside of his station house, too, where he was working as well. So you just hear these stories about this incredible man who loved his family and loved his family in blue. Tomorrow is going to be the second day of the wake. There were many people that came out today, including, as you heard, President Trump. Tomorrow, a number of other people are expected to go out there. And then on Saturday, there will be what will undeniably be a very powerful and somber funeral, and he will be laid to rest. I have been to a number of these funerals, and it is gut-wrenching every time you see, but it is also so inspiring to see how strong and how incredible the men and women in blue are for each other and for their families. It is a bond that will never, ever, ever be broken. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, your thoughts.
You know something, Rita? Today it was obvious. There was a stark contrast between the two former presidents and the one who currently occupies the Oval Office and our great President Trump. It was blatantly obvious, at least to me, that to the Obama-Biden-Clinton crime family, Officer Jonathan Diller's life didn't matter to them. And KJP, the spokesgirl, wouldn't even say his name because his life doesn't matter to them. But St. George Floyd's life mattered to them 24/7.
You know, that's a good point because you think of the contrast on how they handled that. And also, let's never forget, Kamala Harris donating to the Minnesota Freedom Fund to bail out the protesters in the, quote, summer of love. But you know why I think, Jacqueline? I think they don't want to draw attention to the disorder that's been created and the breakdown between judges and the problems with these soft on crime DAs and judges. There are so many breakdowns and these politicians. I mean, if you look at it, they keep going, guns, guns, guns. This is not a recidivist is not a gun problem. A recidivist is you need to make sure they're held accountable so they don't want to go back in again. You need to start getting tough on these criminals so they don't repeat offend. People need to wake up. We need to be safe. Our officers deserve to be safe.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.